For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's right. For the record, you ain't trying to grow, then it's done for you. That's right. For the record, lab on me going all the way. All the way. For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste. Stop calling. For the record, for the record, for the record, for the record, for the record. For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable.
Welcome back to another episode here on Season 5 of The Clink, Stories of Redemption. This one has been a long time in the making. We've been very patient, and today he's been good enough to sit down with me and share his story of redemption. Dean Clark, welcome to The Clink.
Hey, mate, how are you, mate? It's an absolute pleasure, brother, to be on here. I'm finally up with the A-grade, mate.
Up with the A-grade is an understatement. Let's talk about you for a second. You are an A-grade character, full stop. I absolutely have nothing but admiration and fucking respect for you, mate. You know, you're a young man that's completely turned his life around to inspire so many other people. You come from an area in Sydney which is renowned for its hardness, a place with pumping waves but a lot of trouble. Maroubra. Yeah,
definitely, mate, definitely.
Dino, you come from a family of strength, a family of morals. When I say morals, I mean family attitude, respect, love. But it wasn't always like that, was it, mate?
Definitely not, mate. So from starting off from when I was a kid, you know, like I always say, I've always had the good upbringing. I've had my parents together. I've had an older brother who I'm solider than ever with. He's only a couple of years older than me. You couldn't really ask for much more. The way I was brought up, anything I ever wanted, I got. But behind that, you got my mum. She's never been in trouble in her life. But I've got my old man. He's old school, knockabout, hard type of bloke. You know, brought us up tough. But he done what he had to do to give us what we want. You know, he's never really worked for an honest paycheck in his life. So, but we've never missed out on anything, you know, sort of thing. So he, mate, like I was brought up with the old school morals. You go to school, whatever you do in life, if you keep your mouth shut, you can't get in trouble. Or if I give someone up or anything like that, he'd disown me, you know. So from a young age, I was taught you never give anyone up, no matter what's in front of you, you ever been caught for anything through school. As growing on, getting pinched when I was older, anything, it was drummed into me. He hates a fucking rat. He hates a snitch.
Dean, we talk about growing up, and I want to ask you something. How was school for you as a young man growing up around Maroubra?
Well, school for me, I was a nightmare from the get-go. So from kindergarten, I've got a best mate, Jakey North. We were joined at the hip our whole lives growing up. He's exactly the same as me. We just found trouble early, you know. We've got our older brothers older than us. They were always in the good light, and me and Jake were always in the bad light, you know. So we got separated in kindergarten, me and Jake, from just fucking being a little nuisance. So I went on to school, and it was never good for me. I never was any good at school. I was always having my mum and that called to school. I used to run away from school, you know. Like, I even had one day I had a stint with this bloke at school, and one of the teachers said to me, "Oh, mate, you've stuffed up big time. The coppers are waiting for you." I said, "Oh, yeah, fucking watch this." I just jumped over the fence, straight home, locked myself inside. All the fucking principal and that are in the front yard. "Come out, mate. I'm telling them all to get fucked." The only person I'll jump for is me old man, you know. He'd come out and say, "Fuck, get out and get to school." I was straight back, you know. But I never was good at school, mate. Like, even growing up, I love me. The only thing that I could say saved me was sports.
When you say sports, I mean, I've had the pleasure of being around many of the wonderful Maroubra boys and Bra boys, as they're commonly known, and brokes that aren't inked up but are still Maroubra locals. But I also know, too, that surfing, when you talk of sport or rugby league, has been a massive part of the area where a lot of the young men were able to find peace. And was that something that you chose to, you know, rather focus on your energies with sports?
Definitely, mate. Because like I said, you can go to school and I was never good with people telling me what to do. You know, discipline, I fucking hated it. Anyone telling me what to do, I want to do the opposite. So it's like you go, like, for a lot of my mates, even me, I started off with football. You know, you go to football, that's what you look forward to. You can't wait to get out of school. I went through my younger years playing footy. You got your mates you grow up with playing footy. But then I found this passion of surfing. And down Maroubra, as a young grommet, like, you're going out in the surf and you got, like, Maroubra's, I'm not rapping it because I'm from there, but it's a unique place.
It is. Like, there's no two ways about it. I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? And to all our listeners out there, you know, you can read what you want in the media and make your own perception of Maroubra or Bra Boys. You have no idea of how magical the place is. There's every street and every corner's got something going on at some stage. And if it ain't there, there's something happening at the ocean. If it ain't there, it's in the pub. But there's always characters everywhere. And look, if you give respect and the boys get to know you, mate,
because you know why? Because it's very localized. But you go a lot of places now, and you bump into people, you walk down the shops, you don't know half the fucking heads.
Well, that's the Gold Coast, mate, full of fucking, you know, half of fucking Europe and Brazil, and, you know, no disrespect to anybody out there that's from Brazil, but fuck, learn some surf manners.
Yeah, well, mate, tell me about it. But when you come down Maroubra, we demand respect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But in saying that, when I go somewhere else, I show respect to the locals. I don't go and bridge up in their territory or whatever you want to call it. And if I go somewhere, mate, I show the locals respect. And 99% of the time, you become mates of the locals. So, you know, you get this big persona of Maroubra, it's fucking they're thugs, they're this, they're that. We just don't cop shit. You come down there and carry on, you're going to get dealt with. That's where we grew up. That's our backyard.
Respect is what got you to where you are today. It is who you are today. It's what's been embedded into you by your dad. It's what you've walked. It's what you talk. It's what Maroubra's about. What was it like for a young man growing up, you know, with a bit of a cocky attitude, one of the boys, but still, you know, you had to fucking pay your dues?
Definitely. So you don't just waltz up down there and get a free ride with anything, which I think is what makes us who we are today. So how I started off down Maroubra was when we sort of got to high school, you know, you're getting that little bit of a leeway away from your oldies, you know, I'm running out and I was down the beach. So we started off like just my age generation. Every generation down Maroubra, you've got, there's the older boys and underneath them, there's another generation and there's another generation. And that testosterone's pushing up through all them ranks. Everyone's just outdoing everyone. So when you come through there as a little 12-year-old kid, 13-year-old, whatever you are, you're going to get put to the test. And you're around all these fucking characters, these old blokes that have already got a name that you already know about. Now you're next to them, sort of thing. So when I started off, I remember we had a little team of us. We all got together and we had nowhere to keep our surfboards, right? So we started putting our surfboards on the rocks at North Maroubra. There was a little cave. We used to go down there, put our backpacks on, whatever. We'd be gone, throw our wetties on. We're in our wetsuits the whole day. We'd sit on this rock north and we'd be in the surf. So that's how we started off down there, right? And then we used to get the older boys coming down past. Just what's doing, Groms? Come out, get in the surf with us. So we started, our crew got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then because you want to be known, we started getting a little fucking name for ourselves because none of us would take a little backward step. My crew, we were tight-knitted little kids. If one in, all in with my gang, you know? Like, and that was my little age generation. If one of us were doing something, we're all doing it. If someone had a problem with us, well, then he had a fucking problem with all of us. That's how we grew up when we were young, you know?
How old are you talking about, Dino, around this time?
13.
So quite young. 13.
Some of me mates even 12, 11. You know, like, some of me, well, there was about, I would have been 13 or 12 when I first started, and then had even mates even younger, like Dakota Abbott and that. They would have been 11 and 12. My generation was like the last of when Maroubra was like the Wild West. You know what I mean? We were like the back end of the Bra Boys when it was fucking, no one had kids down there then. Yeah. There's all families in that down Maroubra now with kids and misses. Back then, no one had anything. Everyone was doing their best back in them days, you know? Like, so that's where me and Coda and that, we all started our thing from down there on the rocks. And then I'll never forget it. There was this, we sort of started forming and this fucking, now that we look back at it, we sort of think like this sicko used to come down and he would have been 40. We used to get lounges and chairs and that, and we used to put them on the rocks and lay there. And then all of a sudden this 40-year-old bloke would come along. Darius, his name was. We used to get it changing our wetsuits and that. Well, you'd never think about that.
No, sort of, well, you know definitely
what I mean? Back as a 12 or 13 year old, no. You don't think about that. So we're on the rocks, we're cruising, and some fucking sicko. Well, it didn't last long for him because he fell asleep one day on the rocks and the boys seen a bit of white. He got bashed and robbed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And told to fucking get out of there by us, you know? Well, we just sort of. So then what happened, one of the older boys, Jimmy Olsen, I call him the landowner because he gave us a bit of land, mate. He gave us the land. So he said to all us Grimes, you know, like, get off the rocks and bring all your shit up to his backyard. So he lived in a unit at North Maroubra,
right
behind the roundabout, in the thick of it. So all us kids went, mate, at some times he'd have 50 kids in his backyard, Jim.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Just let us have whatever we want in there. He had his missus and his kids and that in the unit and fucking 50 little kids running around out the back, you know? So that's why I call him. He's the landowner, mate. He, and then that's how we started getting introduced to boys, you know? At that time, they had pro surfers coming down there.
That's right.
You know, you got your Coves, your Wayno and that. They're all the big wave surfers. They're bringing big wave surfers over here. We're meeting them as kids. You start to get introduced to this new life.
That must have been pretty exciting, but being a Grom, you know, being proud of where you're from and, you know, having a little bit of a force to be reckoned with, you know, especially within your own generation and knowing that fucking this was somewhere where you were proud and the pride was strong, you know.
Yeah.
And then next minute, you know, you've got the world's best surfers coming over and wanting to hang out with you blokes and take your surfing and you know, be a part of the Maroubra culture. But obviously, you know, they could never be the Maroubra culture, no matter who the fuck they were.
Yeah.
But having that connection with you guys, and here's, you know, a young sort of pumped up crew, staunch buggers, and you're up there and you know, connecting with some of the world's best. I mean, how that could have been, that must have been massive for you.
Well, you can't really comprehend it as a kid. You know what
exactly.
I mean? Here you are, one of the older boys is taking your backyard, and the boys have got photos and that with Kelly Slater, and, you know, you're a little kid.
Yeah.
And this is where you start to idolise the older boys. Fuck, look at them. Look who they're getting around with. You know, like all walks of life have been through that beach. You've got your fucking Bruce Irons and that have been there. We've had everyone, we've seen Jamie O'Brien down there. You know, even when they had the Snickers comp on down there, they had Kelly Slater and that, you know. The boys were leaving him letters. My little crew were leaving him letters on the car saying, you fucking better not win, cunt, you know, when he's versing cunt.
Staunching the competitors.
Yeah. So,
fuck. Imagine that, over 50 little Groms chasing you up the fucking beach because you knocked off one of the locals. Cat.
Mate, even though we were Groms, well, like, we go out in the surf now. Like, it's a different breed of kids now. You look at them and they're not brought up the way you would have been, Simo. We were.
I mean, there's always been a drug scene, a drug culture.
Yeah.
You know, there's no two ways about it. It's just what it is. It's how it's been. Fuck. But there was definitely a shift, wasn't there, with the generations and the type of drugs and the crimes and you know, the respect and just in everything from what you guys brought forward to what it then became.
Mate, that massively. I just think society in general has completely changed, you know. For kids now, ice. Like, I wouldn't even know what ice was back when I was a kid.
No.
But back then, in them days, you surfed, you trained. Yeah, the boys went out and had benders and parties and that. But it ended there. Everyone was surfing, everyone was training, everyone was pushing them into that. And now you see these drugs now that are just fucking blokes that you look at and they were just fucking the top-notch blokes that have ruined the drugs, alcohol, and everything. It is the devil, mate. It's an epidemic going around of this ice that is just ruining everyone. We never grew up with that. I never grew up with all that shit.
No, it wasn't something. I mean, heroin was the big one back then, and if you got caught up in that, smoking it or, you know, which a lot of young blokes did. It was the generation, and it was big where Maroubra was, especially when you were growing up. I'm 45, but I remember being in my early 20s, and, you know, it was flooded through there. It was just what it was. You know, then you would see the young blokes chasing the dragon on the foil and fucking getting stoned and high. Like, it just everywhere became real bad real quick. You know, the whole fun of it all went. The crime life came, you know, and this is where it all starts to change a bit, didn't it?
Yeah, oh, mate, definitely. So it just captures people, them drugs now, you know what I mean? So blokes that are stand-up men and that fall down to the drugs or whatever, and you just see it ruin them. And then it gets to a point where they're gone, you know, like they're caught in that so much of that toxic environment.
Were you caught up in any of the drug scene during your teenage years?
My generation weren't. As we got older, sort of, yeah, the drugs and that started coming on. Like, I've got some of my best mates that were hooked on ice for 6 years that are now sober,
I'm going to say something to you, and I'm not going to mention a name, but there's a couple of faces down there, brother. My hands are in the air right now to say fucking praise be to all you boys, because what I've seen from the outside looking in and the change in some of the most fucking staunchest men that are back, and, you know, yeah, the brothers and the hearts are pure and they're just passionate and they're guiding this generation now into so much more positivity. But it's off the back of their negativity of what they've experienced, like yourself, and, you know, what they've lost and why they're still alive and how they're still able to now be parents, be cousins, be godfathers. God, man, the amount of godfathers you've got down there for your kids, you know, all the brothers and... each one of you is just fucking uplifting each other. It's powerful. I see it.
Especially now at the moment, this present time, the beach, we've got it thriving again. So thriving for good things. So when I was a kid, we wanted to get that name out there for fight and for surf and then to start a party and getting on the drink. We were on the drink at an early age.
Yeah.
It's fucking 13-year-old and that. We're getting around the streets. We're on the drink. You bullshit your mum or whatever. I'm going to stay at his house. You're not staying at that bloke's house. You fucking, you know what I mean? That your mate's doing the vice versa to you with his mum, you know? So you're out. So, but you, everyone's got to enjoy themselves in life. You've got to have a good life, but to the point where we excess that much to the where we don't know the boundaries, it fucking ruins your life.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, what's what we say? Half of us are fucking sickos. We don't do something half. It's full on.
Full on, yeah.
It's full on. It's 100%. It's all the testosterone come back. You're going to have a bender. You're going to bender as hard. You're going to have a knuckle. You want to be the best fighter. Whatever it is, you know, yous are all pushing each other. But now we try and get the Groms now. It's all I want down there is for these Groms to have a good life. So when we were kids, we had a lot of older boys looking after us. They used to pick us up in buses, take us to Suck Rock surfing. And we were shown things like then, like, I remember one day, like, we went to Suck Rock, it was 30 of the boys paddled out, it was all bodyboarders, mate. They just fucking took off straight away. They just get the fuck out of the surf. We're little kids paddling out of how good's this, you know what I mean? So we went out there, but as a little kid, what are you going to do? Even when you're fucking 13 and that you're surfing a sucky rock, like you know, a slab, you're going to have to get out there. I remember one of our mates, he shit himself. He didn't have a go that day. So on the way back from these things, they used to make us do a fucking Macca's run. So the bus would pull up around the corner. We'd run in and get $100 worth of Macca's. And at the end of it, you'd go, oh, can you just get me a McFlurry or something like that? As soon as you turn around, boom, we're out the door with all the food. We're in the bus eating it. So the bloke that didn't have a go that day, he had to wear gherkins. His whole face was covered in gherkins. We're just slapping him on it. Cause he shit like that,
pickle
you know.
Head. Oh, pickle head.
Oh, pickle head, mate. You're fucking not having a go. You're getting slapped with pickles. So,
oh, dear. You know, you've got to look back and... as much as we sit here and laugh, you've got to enjoy the way that you guys grew up and raised. And it wasn't all laughs, though. There was a lot of tough times and a lot of crime, basically, that created a path for many of you. And, you know, respect and rest in peace to the brothers that are no longer here. You yourself started to go down a real downward spiral in your teens. And, you know, that really started to set you on a path, didn't it, Dean?
Yeah, well, definitely. Like, as I started getting older, going up my 16s and that, my generation, it was surf. When you get out of a surf, it was caused fucking chaos. We were a nightmare down that beach. That beach got terrorized from fucking start to finish, every day, all day, if we weren't surfing. The only time we get a bit of peace if we're in the surf. So, but in saying that, we had some of the older boys, you know, you get some that used to fucking blow up at us and pull us in alone, but then we get a fucking couple of them say, you know, you've got to live by chaos, mayhem, and destruction. That's what we used to live by when we were kids. That was our little fucking motto.
Yeah.
So, it just progressed. When we were, like, we used to do things that, like, mate, there'd be 100 kids sitting in the middle of Marine Parade sitting on crates, and there was a crossing for people to get across, and we'd be sitting on the crates pea shooting people in the face. There'd be a line of us, you know what I mean? Or then from there, we'd go up on top of the shops and wait for rich people in convertibles to come through and throw shit at them from the Egham or the coppers. We'd do things to bring the coppers down.
And then brick the fucking out of the paddy wagons. And
throw everything. Yeah. So within that time, before we got them down there, we used to go backyard jumping, right? So we'd get out of the seven and say, oh, what are we doing? Well, let's go backyard jumping. So we used to, for fun, run through people's backyards to find ways to get away from the cops.
So just create paths, just basically.
Create paths, mate. Little nooks and crannies. Like, they think, boom, we just jumped over some random fence. We haven't just jumped over some random fence. We've jumped over that fence that we've been running 10, 20 times back and forth.
You've got a purpose to what you're doing.
Yeah. Back and forth through the fence up here. Or we'd go from Maroubra, and if the waves are flat all along the cliffs at Lurline, mate, there's like 60-metre cliffs that we jump off. You know, then another thing is like you've got to prove yourself. If you would all get down there, 20 of us, we'd start off on the little rocks, and then you get up to street level where you've got to fucking run, and there's some blokes not having a go. You're like, fuck, get out of here, you weak cunt. You know, everyone's having a go, you got to do it. But just to get up to the Lurline for the thing, as we'd backyard jump. So we'd go from down the beach and just jump our way through backyards just to get up there. And so when the coppers come, they could never catch us. We'd be off.
Was there ever anybody just hanging off the back of the fucking line going through the yards and someone just crash tackle them and go, oi, come here and fucking grab them?
Yeah, definitely. There was a big Rottweiler at one of them. So that's the one we used to fucking do a little bit of a kick out of running through, like, oh, here comes a Rottweiler one. We'd always leave the slowest bloke at the end, or some bloke on the new to our game we used to terrorise.
Talk about earning your keep, mate. I'll tell you what, I'm a fat bloke, but I would have run quicker than anybody else if I turned that fucking Rottweiler.
So a lot of people got offside with my crew because we were so hectic.
So you had respect for each other and each other's parents, but outside of that, society in general, you were anti.
Fucking fully, mate. They didn't want a bar of us. People didn't want a bar of us, even from school. Like, I went to a Catholic school and that didn't last long. I got expelled. We all sort of got expelled and we all ended up fucking out of school, South Sydney, right? So we used to walk in one door at morning. If my mum would drop me off or something, give me a lift, I'd walk in one door, see her mum, she'd drive off, I'm out the other door. And we'd just surf, right? We'd just surf and surf and surf. So it got to the point where we started jigging school heaps. Like, we would never turn up for school.
Were you worried about your old boy? Were you worried about the old boy finding out and giving you a flogging or anything?
Yeah, definitely. But what are you going to do? You take them fucking risks, you know what I mean? So by that time, when I left the old man looking after me and all that, a lot of the older boys started becoming figures in our life to pull us in. Like, I'll never forget one day we'd been caught. I was getting suspended for something, and KB used to say, because of Cody, he's his older brother, like, he used to say, mate, where the fuck's Cater? Why is he jigging school now? And we'd never give Cater up, so we'd get bashed more. So it was a lose-lose. And if you did give him up, you'd get bashed even more. So you just had to shut your mouth. But I'll never forget it. I was sitting in the corridor from school one day, and I just heard this fucking bang. And I was like, what the fuck's that? And I just stuck my head around this little bit of a brick, and in comes Cobe with Cota by the hair, dragging him through the school, and I'm fucking trying to hide. You know, I'm trying to get out of the way, and he caught me by the corner. He punched the shit out of us in the principal's office. The principal's going, you can't do this to the kids. He's going, well, fuck them. What are you doing to get them back in school? This will keep them here.
Dead set, eh? Cobe's just dead fucking set. Unleashed in the pub principal's.
Yeah, unleashed. It's just in the finger. That lasted a week, and we were back jigging, but...
He would have been a force to be reckoned with back then too, you know what I mean? I know Cobes very well, and much love to Cobes if you hear this as well. He's over in Indo at the moment with his beautiful family.
Yeah, well, like Jai and that too, you know, that's who we grew up with, because Cota's one of my best mates, Dakota, the youngest Abbott. So we grew up with the Abbott and family, so we're always in it with Jai and all that, you know? A lot of older boys down there that were you know, even Wayno. Like, I've known Wayno since I've been a little kid. He's always been a part of my life until when I fucking bumped him in jail, you know, always looking after me. Still to this day now, we're very close.
Mate, Wayne Cleveland is an absolute gentleman, and we've had Wayne on the clink. We've also had Richie Vass on the clink as well. You know, you boys have really sort of made your mark, and each of you have an amazing story of redemption. I want to talk a little bit more, Dean, now about the seriousness of some of your crimes and what started leading you to getting locked up and things like that, mate.
Well, like you touched on before, I got attracted to the life of crime. So anyone that I used as a kid, and I used to see that they had some sort of like sort of persona with crime, or like when we were growing up, blokes like Locko, Jason Locko and that, you know, we used to hear their names down the beach, or Hinesy or shit like that. You used to hear stories that just blow your mind away.
Yeah.
Like, you'd know them personally. Mate,
I was 18 years of age at Long Bay, and they were all in there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So you lived that life. And, but as a little kid, we used to hear the stories about, oh, fucking Locko, you know, as a grouse boxer in jail and all this. It caught my attention big time. Same going back with my old man. Like I said, he used to work on the doors up the cross, the Kellett Club and the old illegal casinos and the Forbes Club. That used to draw my attention. I used to love that shit. I didn't want to hear shit of fucking what he used to do, just a normal day job. I used to love hearing them stories.
It excited you.
Still to this day, I fucking love hearing it.
Yeah.
So I just sort of went down that track, but with my mates, we started progressing. So we'd start fucking doing shit off terrorising the beach to start, my mate started robbing stuff, and it just started progressing. And then once we had a fucking bit of a name with the police, it was all over. And back then, it was like we fucking hated them. They hated us and we fucking hated them. It was pure fucking rivalry with us and the cops. So my first encounter with the cops, I would have been about 8 years old. I was with my brother and his mate, and I was fucking throwing shit at buses. And next thing, the coppers come out, and because they don't really get in trouble, my brother and that, the coppers grabbed them, but I'm out of here. I'm not letting them catch me at eight or whatever it was. They end up catching me and took me to the police station, my brother ran the ball up for me and said it wasn't him, it was me, you know. And my older brother, like, he didn't have to do that, but he's just the older brother looking out for me. So that was my first little inkling into hating fucking cops, you know. But then as I went on, we'd do things that I'd get from the coppers picking me up of a night, and then you'd have a stink, or you'd carry on when you're 15. They'd pick you up, they'd throw you back in, like, you know, the old fucking paddy wagons, like the tin on it, like the silver fucking covering on it, not these white Perspect things they've got now. They used to take us up the rifle range. It used to be a rifle range up at Malabar, right? And they used to take us up there. Instead of like getting pinched back in them days, they used to fucking smash us around in the back of the paddy wagon, drive us up there, fucking doing burnouts.
So hang on a sec. For these people that are listening, let's just put this in perspective, because it's easy to say they'd take us up this road. Now let's talk about what it was. These rifle ranges were like just dirt roads that went into like a fucking a cliff face, yeah. Basically that dropped off into the Botany Bay. Basically, that's what it was, wasn't it?
Absolutely nothing up there.
And
a horse paddock,
it's
and
pitch
fucking
black.
Yeah, pitch black, nothing. And you're thinking as a kid, what the fuck are they taking me up here for? Because you know the back old paddy wagons, you used to be able to see out the back.
That's
used to
right,
be
out
that
the
little
flap.
Air bit,
that's
right,
out the flap thing.
So you used to look out the flap and you go, oh, fuck, hang on a minute, I'm not going home here. Where the fuck am I going here? And next thing you realise where you're going at the rifle range, you'd be, what the fuck are these cunts doing? Where am I going? Like, you're a little kid. Then they'd start trying to do the donut. But we worked out what to do. Like, so you'd get hammered in the back of that thing. They'd be slamming on the brakes. You'd be hitting your head. So we used to just put our feet up hard against on the other thing and just hold on.
It was like a bull ride, eh?
Yeah, so then that'd become a thing you'd want to go do with your mates. You know, let's all get in the back of the fucking bum wagon and go up there. And it's fun to do that, but that progressed into me starting to do other shit. And then at the time, the Bra Boy movie come out.
Right.
Well, before that, it was when the boys had the stink at Marky Matthews 21st down at the Coogee Diggers RSL Club, right? So they had the coppers had their Christmas party, off duty party there, and Marky had his 21st. Well, a stink happened. They weren't on duty, but the boys, something happened with the coppers fucking niggling them or whatever, and the boys punched the fuck out of them.
Yeah.
And the coppers went away licking their wounds. So the next day after that, I've never seen anything like it down that beach. The beach was covered in blue. From fucking one end to the other, riot squads, and that kicked off a rivalry for fucking years to come of them against us. You couldn't fucking walk down that shops. You couldn't walk down anywhere. You'd sneeze and they'd be on you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
You're just walking down. You're not minding your own business. Boom, the cops have got you up against the wall, fucking pulling everything out of your pockets. And then...
And as much as if I can say this, you know, you guys were fucking terrorising the streets as young adolescents, you were also getting treated like adults by the cops, because they were flogging the fuck out of you, weren't they?
They were
truly like abusing their power to, you know, basically physically abuse teenagers. And I'm look, I get it. And post many people out there are going to go, oh, yeah, they were kids running amok. Yeah, and I know, you know, so what? We all got fucking slapped around by the cops when we were kids. But then there's bringing a bat now. There's excessive force, kicking your head while you're down, while you're handcuffed, jumping all over you. These are the things that happen, weren't they, Dean?
Oh, mate, definitely. But even to take a kid up that rifle range in a paddy wagon and smash him around till he gets fucking hammered, you know?
Yeah.
Like, mate, my mates have been doing nothing and the coppers have jumped on them and belted them. Then they're pinched. They're pinched for assaulting police.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean? Like, so that they'll fucking... Like, I can't sit here and say we're aims half the shit we fucking probably do deserve, right? But this is where it becomes the rivalry where you're walking down the beach and you're doing nothing. Next thing, oh, fucking, here he is. Look at this little shit. Let's go give him a bit of fucking therapy.
So naturally you get on the defensive and going to say, fuck you, I'm not going to let you do that shit to me.
Yeah.
And you're going to stand your ground, and next minute you're on.
And then that's when our little egos would kick in. Fuck you, your dogs and all this, whatever, throw shit at them. And then it just was going back and forth and back and forth, which we would never win. That's why, like I say to the kids now, at the end of the day, you're never going to win.
You can't beat the system. You really can't. I learned that years ago, mate. I remember, you know, like, fuck, I did nearly 14 years all up in between boys' homes and jail. And I had, up until my last 6 years, I had this attitude of, fuck you, you're not going to get me. The amount of Segro, the amount of things I missed out on, the amount of truck rides I'd go on annually just getting tipped because fucking they could. You know, 1 minute I'm talking to my missus organising a visit from fucking, you know, living up on the Gold Coast, and I was still 7 hours away in a jail. And next minute, I'm tipped to Bathurst, you know what I mean? Another fucking, it's like a 14-hour trip for her and a newborn. Like, the games that they play, that they can play, I don't care, mate. They make you stronger, but you got to make a choice and accept that the system will win in the end.
Definitely, definitely. You're never ever gonna beat it.
You're not a bigger man for standing up and telling them to go fuck themselves. It's not going to be something that you're going to come out in front of in the end.
But at that age, no one can tell you any different.
No. Not at all.
You know what I mean? You're not going to... the amount of people that said, pull your head in, you wouldn't... You'd never pull your head in. So it just fucking... Like I said, and then if I seen one of my mates or one of my mates see me getting pinched, and then they'd jump in and... You know what I mean? Like, so it just... Fuck, like I said, mate, with my mates, we were so solid together. So if one was getting pinched by the coppers, the other one would be out of there trying to go, which was fucking making the situation worse.
But how old were you when you started actually getting locked up and doing time? And was it through boys' homes or
My mates were going to boys' homes. I didn't get pinched, got locked up till I was 18. I got lucky with that. But my mates from a young age were going in and out of boys' homes, mate, and for fucking nothing.
Yeah.
Dakota, just because he was an Aberdeen mate.
Yeah,
locked him up in a boys' home in Cobham just for purely, like, the kid did nothing one day down the fucking beach. And they locked him up because they hated his brothers. They hated bra boys. You know what I mean? So he copped the end of that when Cody fucking did nothing. I'm not saying that because I'm one of his best mates. He actually did nothing, you know, and they fucking put him in a boys' home. And I had heaps of me mates go to fucking boys' homes.
Dino, you turn 18. You're still wild. You're running amok. You're firing up whenever you can. What happened, bruh?
Well, it was like I hit a point where I did not give a fuck what happened to me. I didn't care what I had in my life. I didn't care what job I had. My old man said to me, if you fucking leave school, you got to get your apprenticeship. You're not just fucking bludgeoning around here doing nothing. So I didn't give a fuck about any of that, to be honest. You know, I was just out to fucking cause havoc and it backfired on me. And I just started fucking, like I said, because I started getting the name with the police, it was lights out. I couldn't do anything. Which, and I didn't give a fuck anyway, that I couldn't do anything. Like, I had the coppers come into the Maroubra Bay Hotel when I was 18. Like, we were running through them joints when we were 15 and 16 at the Maroubra Bay Hotel on the drink and that, you know. But I was 18 in here this time, and they brought the fuck, and they raided the joint once a fucking week down there for sniffer dogs. And it's not as if the boys didn't know that the coppers were coming through, because you can always tell that two undercovers will go walk in the bistro.
Yep.
And as soon as they walk in the bistro, you know them dogs are coming through the door, because what happens is people jump up and go to run to the next room into the bistro or something and throw what they've got, then them blokes come up and pinch them, right, that are sitting there watching.
Yeah.
But I was in there, they brought the sniffer dogs in there and that, and they said I fucking attacked one of the cops. I fucking didn't. And they picked me up, they had me, they fucking like tombstone me through the doors out of the pub, right? This is just one of the things going for me. I had assaults going for me, against me. I had a grievous bodily harm going against me where some bloke I had a run in over at Mortdale with, and I hit him over the head with a chair. And that, only that I knew someone through a family member got that dropped. We pulled the charge on me, which is fucking lucky that I didn't get done with that, because he was battered from it. And then everything just built up. And then I ended up doing this sticker, but these things were all still going for me.
So you're on bail for all these other charges as well. So you basically you were just pinging, just going hard.
Fuck yeah, I was in the courts every fucking second week.
And then
mate.
Bang, you're out there and you're involved in a sticker, an armed robbery.
Yeah, well, they kept saying, mate, you keep going, you're only gonna end up one place, and that's a big house, right? So what happened with the coppers with in the pub? I went to court and I had two of the boys come in the courtroom for me to get in the box to tell them why, because I pled not guilty, right? So I had to go, they fucking go through the whole process.
Yeah, yeah.
So they cross-examined them two boys and we all had the same story because I didn't do it. They started getting, I thought, fuck, here we go. The DPP said, draw a picture of what happened, like where you was all standing and that. And we fucking nailed it. And in come these two coppers that charged me and had two complete different stories. So they... In the courtroom, there was a little team of the boys there with me, and on the other side of the courtroom, there was all coppers that fucking hated us, and I beat the charge. The judge goes, what is this shit? The police have got two different stories. They've got the same story in their case. It was like a little fucking victory for us. They hated it. That was a big turning point in my life where the coppers really started gunning for me.
So these are local coppers that have had to deal with you for years, deal with your fucking... your ways and the crew and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah,
and they thought that they finally got you at 18 years of age. They were going to get you, put you in jail where they wanted you.
Yeah.
And it went pear-shaped for them. So obviously I'm taking it now that they're on the hunt for something bigger and better, and they want you badly.
Yeah, and I fucking give it to them. I give them what they wanted, you know what I mean? I fell to the system.
As in you failed just by being silly in your decision, or you thought, fuck it, here, I'll go and play cat and mouse and I'll do this?
Nah, it's just silly in my decision because the bloke, I'll never forget it, this red-headed copper, he goes, I've been waiting to get you for fucking years and I've got you. I've got you now. You know what I mean? So it's just my stupidity, like always thinking that I was going to beat the system, but... So from that, I started leading on, and we started, like, getting things in the pipeline. To me now, I look at it, it's a blessing in disguise that I got pinched for that because I was going to do fucking worse things than what I actually did do. So I'm glad that it did happen because I would have ended up a lot more fucked. But what we used to do with the armed robbery, they used to have, always as kids, they used to have bottle trucks coming down the beach. We used to jump, when we'd bad walk in there, we'd jump on and flip cases off.
Yeah.
And they'd come back out.
They used to have safes in the back of them as well.
Yeah. Well, see, we're too young and dumb to know that. And say, fuck, otherwise I'm free.
The old Coca-Cola trucks, bro, I'm telling you. Because if you remember back in the day, they used to come and they used to empty all the Coke machines when Coke owned them, and they'd take them all out. So they'd be full of cash bags of fucking gold coins or whatever. I mean, it was predominantly coins. There was definitely notes in there because I know we got a few. But but mainly it was just like a big floor safe underneath their fucking pallets. And there'd be literally cash bags full of coins. There'd be thousands of dollars. But you'd have to be really willing to carry the fucking weight of the bags.
Yeah.
That was a good earn back in the day.
I bet it was. But we would just... I think that some of the bottle truck blokes used to let us do it. They'd turn a blind eye to it. They'd see all these little cunts on there flicking the cases off.
It's easier just to say, go and get a few cases.
Yeah. We go get cases. And then down the beach, there's a place called Sun Club. It's in Fenton Street. So you've got Fenton Street and you've got McKean Street and where the shops are. So of a day, you'd have like... But you'd have... 60 of the boys and the sun just beams on you. So everyone's off, shirts off, got the fucking cars there, music pumping. Everyone's fucking, we used to play this game where you throw the dollar coins at the wall, whoever chips it closer gets all the money, and then blokes would start fucking putting $100 down, and it's just a full day down there, right? So we used to do it all the time. Beats pumping, the boys throwing the money against the wall, gambling with each other, fucking... The street, people walk past and just go, what the fuck is this, you know?
It's like, just your own little bubble.
Fucking Tupac blaring, fucking blokes covered in tattoo all on the fucking street, fucking on the drink, knuckles punching on with each other. Heaps of shit's happened down there. But this one day we just on the drink hard all day in the sun, and there was a little pizza shop on the corner. So we were in the pizza shop and we were fucking terrorising him, actually, drinking. We used to go in there and drink all the wine out of his fucking... He wasn't a bad bloke, but we were kind of a kid, you know. So, but we made give me a... the night went on and we were fucked. And I never really knew about Zannies, right? So he's like, yeah, have a Zanny. I was like, yeah, whatever, fucking boom, blind drunk, we're having Zannies. Like I said, this time we were getting bad intentions in our head of doing shit at this time. A lot of shit, we boys had done a lot of bad shit. We'd never got pinched for, but you're starting to get bad intentions of doing stuff. And this just gives you a fucking fake ego of like, which you probably, I would never have done if I wasn't on this, mate. For people out there that have Zannies and that, you understand, like you become Superman on this thing. You can fucking walk in front of a bus. They give you a false sense of being, you're not in your own shell. Right, that's what they say now. There's a lagging in every bottle of these zannies.
Oh,
so many
100%.
Blokes I met in jail were in there for fucking zannies.
100%.
So we had this zanny, and one of the boys go, fucking, there's a brothel up at Maroubra Junction that we can go and hit. We're like, yeah, fucking, let's go. So didn't even hesitate. Let's jump in the car. And we had mates up the road that lived there. They were hunters. So they had all the fucking weapons. They had ballies. They had fucking, they had these big, like, they had three big, like samurai fucking swords, beautiful big fucking swords. We're like, boom, we'll grab them. Jumped in this little car, took off with the ballies, tied strings around our head with these ballies and that, like fucking just fuck. I think we even had the ballies on hammering up there. So we're hammering up there, like it's just like, mate, like.
But the thing is, Dino, when you're on those zennies, you're not thinking straight, mate. It actually blacks you out.
Way.
I remember growing up, and what was the other ones? Rowies, Rohypnals. They were the fucking same thing. We had this era where a lot of people in the gear used to use Rowies. Now, I used to hang out back when I was a kid, being a street kid, and that, a lot of people were using gear, you know, and everyone's trying to get you to have a shot and all this sort of shit. And I was like, nah. I always sort of was able to slide past that one. But I did have a fucking few Rowies. And I remember fucking very similar. One night, I took fucking three or four Rowies. I'd been drinking, and the next thing... I woke up the next day in a police cell, but apparently I walked into a pizza shop, robbed a pizza shop for two large pizzas, walked out to the main street of Parramatta at Westmead there, sat in the gutter and ate the fuck kings, walked into a little shop and stole a whole big bag of fucking mixed lollies, then was walking down the street eating them. And apparently, I don't know, I just kept sitting in the gutter and eating. I was arrested, and I do not know to this day, I don't remember a fucking thing, but it happened, and it was all due to this fucking... these tablets and Zannies, Zannies are no different.
Mate, no different. And so we went up there and we went to this brothel and fuck knows if it even was a brothel. It probably was, but we got these big Sammies and we're fucking samurai. So we're running them through the door. Boom, fucking boom, open the door. And they've got fucking cameras just watching us. Look at these fucking idiots. You know, I'm surprised we didn't snap the fucking samurai swords and run out the door that hard. and then we went, we're like, fuck this. This is what I could just remember, sort of, because I was so out of it. But, like, we're like, fuck this, let's go, let's hit something else. So we're in fucking the middle of Maroubra Junction, and Maroubra Junction is a fucking busy place.
It's especially at night time. Yeah, it's like Parramatta Road of eastern suburbs, a Parramatta Road of the eastern suburbs, really.
Yeah, restaurants fucking up and down, fucking, we're just like, let's go over and hit a Porto. Like always, I laugh about it. I don't even class it as an armed robbery, you know, like, but it's just, it's that much, but in society, they class it as a fucking armed robbery.
Yeah.
So we fucking ran straight over there. My mate's got the manager by the fucking throat with the knife. I'm over the counter. Every cunt's on the floor. And my mate's at the front. He's watching and he goes, like, I don't even know what I expected to get. I laughed. I didn't even get a bit of fucking chicken. I didn't even get a bit of fucking sauce.
No hot chips, you know, no nuggets, no nothing.
No hot chips, no nothing.
No,
we got a Bogo heist, mate. We got nothing. We didn't even get a fucking...
No Bondi burger?
Nah, I should have just walked out and put a fucking napkin in my pocket. It was that much of a joke.
Oh, no.
But they my mate goes, coppers. They must have went past and didn't see what's going on, but we've run across the road into the car that we come up there in, and one of my mates kept going because the coppers fucking seen us and tried to block us in. Me and my other mate were like, fuck it, let's try and get out of here. We'll just try and break through and get out. But me mate's like, fuck that, I'm going. He took off. They ended up finding him in the front yard when the fucking search and that went on and pinched him. And we were like, fucking, let's get out. Like, try and jam our way out. But by this time, there's fucking coppers everywhere. Like, the streets were blocked. some people must have rang up and said there's an armed robbery going on. Like me and you, we sit here and laugh like it's a Porto's. It's not an armed robbery to me, it's a joke. Like, I don't know what I was going there doing, but in society, people see fucking three blokes running around with balaclavas on in any shop with samurai swords. People in society shit themselves. They're like, fuck, you know.
Oh, so absolutely.
The joint just was in, went a full lockdown with coppers everywhere. Every street, every fucking place you could think of was just coppers, and we couldn't get out.
They must have been so excited, Dino, seeing your fucking face. They must have just thought Christmas had come to them.
Yeah, well, they did, mate, because what happened is, well, that off our guts, then by this time they're jumping out, and they've seen what we've had. They're like, fucking stop moving, get that fucking jamming the gun through the fucking windows at us. Fucking put the fucking stop moving. I'm trying to jam the fucking knife underneath the seat. My mate's trying to get out, like, in the car to fucking save us so we can take off on a pursuit, fucking get out of there. If we got out, we were gone. We didn't give a fuck if they were chasing us or not. Then they had the fucking guns in our heads, ripping us out. By this time, we're just getting fucking ragged on. I can't even get me belly off. And then they fucking throw us on the ground. And, mate, like what you said, he just fucking finally ripped me belly off and said, oh, look who we got here.
Wow.
Sort of thing, you know. Finally, we got these fucking pieces of shit where they think we are, you know. And I remember hearing it. It went over his radio. He goes, three males attempt an armed robbery, all units go. Then he goes, don't worry, we've got the fucking scumbags here that we've been wanting to get.
That must have been a real kick in the guts for you, Dino, knowing that that was really the turning point of where shit's going to get real for you.
Mate, definitely. Because I woke up in the morning in the police station, and I just, because I've woken up so many times in the cop shop and been a Waverley and been locked up and refused bail there, and it didn't, I just woke up in the police station in the cell thinking, fuck, it's just, what have I done? I've just obviously done a little knuckle or something, had a knuckle or whatever. And I said to the coppers, I said, what the fuck am I in here for? And they pushed the fucking thing under the door and it said armed robbery. And they said, you're not going home, mate. And I said, fuck off, armed robbery. They said, mate, you're in here for an armed robbery. And then as time went on, we fucking went to court for it and that. And they were gunning for us. They were trying to bring everything that we'd done. Bra boys, ears, everything that we went for court started coming through. Well, we went for bail. We didn't, fuck, they laughed at us for bail. We didn't get bail. I didn't get any of that. And then, but it is funny, when we were at court, they said to us, that we're all up in the you know, the boxing on the side when you go for court and they bring you from jail. We're all sitting up in that, the three of us. And one of me, the Eloise used to say, we don't want the boys in there in the courtroom. We don't want to bring across the gang persona. We don't want to have all the boys sitting in the courtroom watching you. Just family come in and that's it. And so we're up in the thing and the DPP's going through the thing. They're trying to slap us with what they want to give us. And next thing, fucking bang, through the doors. Everyone looks. One of the boys goes, fucking brah, boys. I love yous. We're like, what fuck? We couldn't believe it. The bloke that is one of my best mates. I love him. He's so nice. He's just a fucking real character. And we were just like, oh, my God. You know, we're like, fuck, and we've got them all outside, and he burst through doing that. You know, fucking love your boys, brah, boys for life. My mum will fucking almost died. She went white.
It's not a good thing. I mean, I remember when I was looking at 10 years at the district court for importation, and, you know, funny enough, you talk about brah boys. Well, Evo was at court. He came to court and was there the day I got sentenced, believe it or not, and full respect to him for supporting me, mate, and never forget what he's done for me as well, just off the record, mate. It's just a good all-around fucking human. But, you know, like, I remember looking around the courtroom, I'm thinking, fuck, you know, this is it. And then my missus is pregnant, you know, like, she's ready to drop. And they're looking at 10 years, and then he's, you know, gone to fucking, because I pleaded guilty early, 25% reduction, there was no one else charged. I took the rap, simple as that. There was no one to be charged. You know, and ended up with the six on the bottom. So it's a fucking tough kick in the guts, isn't it? When you're walking back down from that dock, mate, and you're kicking off your lagging. How long were you given?
Well, just under 3 years, mate, I end up doing for it. They're trying to give us five, but all like our age and that and things, they started playing in. We got a good result. If we had a nick that manager with the knife, we would have been doing a lot more.
Then I've got to ask, and I want to just get this, and I know you're a staunch, I know you're a fucking hard man, but I also know, too, you're a good-hearted man. And I don't care who you are. When you go to jail and it's your first time, doesn't matter what buddies are there, what was going through your head, bro? Seriously, just you on your own.
Mate, it's something I don't fucking try and bridge up about or anything, mate. When you're a little 19-year-old kid, mate, I was dripping wet, 70 kilos, little surfy kid.
That's right.
I wasn't the big kid. I was skin and bones. There was nothing of me.
Yep.
When I went to jail, mate, I was this. They put bikies together. There was a few of the boys in there at the time. I didn't fucking put with anyone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was just going straight in, and like we started off at Surrey Hills. And that joint was like a zoo. Like, I've been to fucking to courts and that wave and that. But then at Surrey Hills, when we were getting refused bail, we're like, oh, fuck, here we go. That joint was an eye-opener for me in itself, yeah. You know? Well, I end up staying there for 7 days. By the end of it, I'm watching that 19-year-old, some bloke in the through the perspex on the other thing, banging his head against the wall all night trying to kill himself.
Yeah.
And then the screws come down, rip us out of the cell, and then go in there and bash that bloke. So I had to adapt real quick from the fucking get-go. So then when I went to Silverwater, I went in there, and this is no word of a lie, my first experience in jail, I walked in there, and then fucking was trannies in there, in the boneyard bit of Darcy, there was trannies in there. I got there late at night, so they were fucking whistling, like, look at this sexy little boy and that. In my head, I'm thinking, oh, fucking, here we go. I thought I was this tough young kid out on the street. Now in here, I'm absolutely nothing. That's why...
That's the reality, Dino. And I think this is the thing, you know, and I've said it before in many of my talks, and I've said it in my own story when I've done it. Everybody is fucking vulnerable. It doesn't matter who you are, how much money you got, how hard you are. Don't get me wrong. There are some staunch men in that system that have lived in there that are doing big wax it, really, really do hold a lot of weight and can carry their own. But at the same time, if somebody wanted to have a bad day or somebody needed something done, and it'll happen. It will happen. You know, you are vulnerable. Everybody in there is fucking vulnerable.
Oh, definitely, mate.
But people have this misconception that, yeah, and I'm not denying it. Like, the yards and the jails are definitely run by different nationalities, different crews, and there's a lot of good men. These are the facts. These are the facts. You know, if you want to sort of, be, especially a lot of young blokes, they like to attach to certain crews, you know, because they don't like standing on their own two feet. They'll go and leech on to this crew. Next minute, they're fucking their puppets and they're doing the bute for them. They're doing this, whatever it might be. Everybody's vulnerable. It doesn't matter. You think that so-and-so's your mate. No one's your fucking mate in there. Your mate. You're on your fucking pat. And the bottom line is you do your best, the best you can.
Definitely. And what can you do? I was primed a little bit more for it than some other kid because I grew up around the beach. I was fucking, you know, like I always was taught to hold my own down that beach with even at our board riders comps down there, if you win the comp, at the end of the comp, there was fucking 100 of the boys at a surf comp. We'd have to put the gloves on and fight.
Yeah.
Be in the middle of that circle and fucking fight, not tap each other, give it to each other. You and your best mate, throwing them as hard as you can for fucking however long it might be, 10 minutes, you got to get out of the circle, you get pushed back in that fucking circle. So I wasn't really a normal kid that hadn't been primed for that. I knew blokes that had been in there. I sort of knew what I was getting myself into. But when I went to jail, I got classed as an A2 classo, so I was only going to the Maxo jails at 19. I was going to fucking Silverwater, Park Lee, and Bathurst and all that. I don't know if it was because I was a bravo in there, but they must do it to everyone. But they started giving me the therapy in jail too, the screws and that. I was getting fucking shanghaied everywhere. I was at fucking Silverwater, to Park Lee, to Long Bay, to Bathurst, stopping at Lithgow, then fucking move me back. And when my court was on, I was just getting flung back and forth everywhere. I would never settle down. As soon as I settled down, I'd fucking wait. Oh, I'm finally going to get an activity buy up and just wait a fuck knows how long. Now, boom, you're on the truck, even though it's a day it's coming. You're gone or you're fuck. It was just. But I was at the bay for a fair while and I just started off at Seven Wing in the bay. And I seen one of the older boys from Aruba at Nyming on the visits. And he's like, mate, I'll get you over to us.
Seven Wing was a transit wing. Seven Wing was fucking putrid. It was like Bathurst Transit Wing.
Yeah.
It was absolutely just riddled with fits, fucking addicts, fucking pills, blades. It was fucking disgusting diseases. Yeah. Nine Wing was the wing where it was transit too, but there was long-termers, sentenced inmates, and it was a good crew.
Yeah, exactly.
Was that the same as what you experienced?
Exactly. Yeah. When I was in Seven Wing, I watched three blokes in the yard use the same fit. One would go, bop. pumping into his arm.
Disgusting.
The next boat would spit the blood out, and the next boat would go, but pump that into his arms. And I was cunts getting their heads jumped on in the shower block at the end of the wing. It was a fucking jungle in there in Seven Wing. But then when I got exactly like you said, those blokes doing big wax in Nine Wing. A couple of us on transit, remand, whatever, and blokes doing big wax. I even think that one of the blokes that was on your podcast, Bernie Matthews, he was there in 09 in Nine Wing, you know?
So, Bernie Matthews was there because I was there in 010. So, yeah, he was still there then.
But I had a lot of old school crims and that they, I just really, like, I got close with them, you know? And they used to just say to me, like, look at us. We're in here for the rest of our lives. We have wasted our lives. They said, you're going home. You will go home eventually, even though you've got a few years to do, you're going to go home. So I always took that as the golden ticket. Oh, these boys are, and they used to say, mate, we'll fucking give it to you if we catch you back in here. You're a good young kid. And they used to fucking bag me and they'd say, can you smell the salt, sea salt from a river from here, mate? Well, you're wasting it in here. Look at you. What are you? It always stuck in my head, that shit, you know, with the older crims giving me that. I just take it as I've got the golden ticket to get out. And I ran with it. These are proper crims. You know what I mean? Doing 20-year wax, whatever they were doing. I was a little shit kicker in there. I was a nobody. And then I got really looked after by them blokes. You know, I got put on maintenance with them. I was working over there. I was having buy-ups. I was fucking... I could have put me a wrong way because I sort of settled in jail there at Long Bay. It really didn't... It become like it wasn't that bad for me. And I could have took it the wrong way and fucking just thought, well, this is nothing to me.
Part two with Dean Clark. Bra Boy continues tomorrow. With Dino moving from the Long Bay Jail to Bathurst.
For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's right. For the record, you ain't trying to grow any stunt for you. That's right. For the record, lab on me going all the way. All the way. For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste. Stop calling. For the record, 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 for the record.